Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's kick off the last hour of today's Grant and Danny, shall we? We've been busy. It's been fun. If you've missed any part of today's show, including our interview with Troy Brown Jr. of the Wizards, or a conversation on the big lead ranking Jay Gruden, 27th best of 32 NFL coaches, you'll be able to grab the podcast at thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com/audio. It is time for the big one, and our biggest story today is the scuffling Nats. Neil Greenberg of the Washington Post and I were tweeting back and forth yesterday, and I always like figuring out, based on the numbers, what the chances of things happening are. So we wanted to get Neil on to analyze just how much trouble the Nationals are in, and as far as the playoffs go, what their chances of still making it are. So what do the numbers tell us right now, Neil, on the Nationals?
Well, it depends on what you're looking at, but I've seen estimates anywhere between 40 and 70% to make the playoffs. I think Fangraphs has them as high as 82%. But a lot of that is to pay, but there's different methods of doing it. So the real answer is probably lies somewhere in the middle. So maybe we're looking at like a 50-50, 60% chance of them making the playoffs, which I'm not sure that that's real great considering the expectations coming in and considering like where this team's high standards are. So it's definitely one of the storylines I'm watching during the baseball season, not just because I'm local in terms of in proximity to the team, but I think this is going to be a national story.
Yeah, Neil, for me, if you know, forget about Vegas odds or whatever else, if you just ask me on a binary, is it a smart bet that the Nationals will make the playoffs? I definitely bet yes, even as bad as they've been here of late, mostly because no one's really good in the National League, and you know they've got the most upside of anyone in the division. But where are you at now just in terms of – it's right to be concerned, isn't it, just because of how badly things are going?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things that have me concerned. Number one is the pitching staff is not getting a lot of support. They have 11 what they call tough losses. So those are losses in which the starting pitcher has a quality start. That's the most in baseball, not just the National League. So if a pitcher pitches six or more innings but only allows three or fewer runs, 11 of those have been losses, which is abnormally high. The run support for their starting pitchers when the starting pitchers in the game is below average. So those two things are certainly two metrics that I'm watching. But I'm also looking at, like, let's say the Nats do get on track, or for some reason the Braves falter, or maybe the Phillies falter, maybe both of them falter. But if they don't, then you're looking at a wild card, which has the Cubs and the Dodgers as part of that picture. And I don't know exactly where the Nationals are for certain in terms of can they beat one of those two teams for the wild card if it does indeed hold that way. Is it possible that both the Braves and the Phillies slip in terms of, and allow Washington to get an opening? I mean, you look at Philadelphia's schedule for the remainder of the season, it's not that difficult. It's probably one of the three or fourth most easiest schedules, I should say, going into the rest of the season. Washington's schedule isn't that much harder, so they have an easy schedule too. But again, I mean, instead of just one thing having to go right, now we have to have a bunch of things go right in terms of Atlanta faltering, Philadelphia faltering, Washington getting better. What do the Cubs and the Dodgers look like? And that's just the National League. I think that there's a lot of things at play here that don't bode well for Washington in terms of the end of the regular season.
I think it all is well said. Neil Greenberg of the Washington Post is our guest. By the way, there are eight teams in the NL wildcard chase, and I use air quotes because it's June, within 5.5 games right now. And that's all going to change considerably. I don't think Pittsburgh or Colorado are actual contenders, But they're both within 5.5 games right now. San Francisco could fall off the pace. But, I mean, those are teams that are sub or right at 500 that are all, quote-unquote, in consideration for the wild card with the Cubs, the Dodgers, the Cardinals, the Phillies, and the Nationals. You mentioned the Braves and the Phils. I don't want to put you on the spot for too much detail here because I know you don't spend all your time studying those two teams. But I am curious what you would think about the chances of those two clubs continuing to play 555 baseball are. This is not the expectation for either. I look at some of the earned run averages of their starting pitchers, and there's just no way they can keep it up. But is that enough to say that as a team they can't continue to play at that level? Because they obviously have the trade deadline coming and can help themselves as well.
Yeah, and that's really – look, it's early, right? I mean, we're not even at the halfway point in terms of the All-Star game yet. So there's a lot can happen. I know you tweeted that the Mets look like that they were going to be the tornado early in the season. They certainly haven't been. So there's a lot that can change, obviously, over the course of just a couple of weeks, let alone a whole half of the season. But I'm not sure that Atlanta or Philadelphia are playing so above their means in terms of like what we would expect from them that a cratering is going to happen, right? I think the Phillies especially, they slip off a little bit, but their strength of schedule going forward mitigates that some a little bit. And not only do both of those have to get worse, the Nationals have to get better, right? I mean, the Nationals can't continue to play the way they're playing and expect to pass one of those teams, let alone two of those teams. So I think a lot of these projections that you're seeing in terms of the making the playoffs, especially those that are upwards of 50%, are banking on that the Nationals are going to somehow put it together. Like somehow the team that was supposed to be the division leader is going to emerge and just start to boat race these other teams. And that may happen. But based on what we've seen, right, Bryce Harper's batting, the team as a whole batting, injuries, pitching, you know, all that stuff that goes into winning a baseball game, it's a lot of stuff that needs to go right very quickly. So I would agree with you. Yes, Braves and Phillies are gonna tail off at some point. Is it enough though to also give the Nationals a chance and the Nationals improve? That's the part that I'm having trouble with, and that's
so
the part I'm not ready to buy into.
About the Nats themselves than the other teams, which is interesting. I mean, I am of the belief that if and when they get healthy, and healthy doesn't just mean, hey, Daniel Murphy's back, but that guys have been back long enough that, you know, like Zimmerman first couple weeks back is going to scuffle. But let's say fast forward to when he's himself. I believe in players are what they've been their entire careers and kind of I believe in progressing and regressing to means that this team is going to rip off a bunch of wins. It surprises me as a numbers guy that you wouldn't expect that.
Yeah, I mean, because I don't know if they might, and it's certainly possible, but there are just a lot of ifs, right? I mean, there's just a lot of when this person's healthy, when he comes back, what does he look like when he comes back, when does he come back? I mean, there's just so much that goes into it. It's a moving target, obviously, and it's not that I'm down on Washington to the point where I don't think they have a chance. It's just,
right,
you know, time eventually runs out. And you need to start making stuff happening. And I'm looking at a team that's batting .229 that maybe should be batting like .240. And, you know, yeah, there's some injury concerns there, but there's also some skill concerns there, right? I mean, you're not going to get – that's not going to all of a sudden balloon up to, you know, wherever – you know, enough to get them ahead of like the Atlanta Braves who are batting .274, who maybe should be batting .265. You know, I mean, like that gap is still there. And again, you're not really just relying on the Nationals getting better. You're relying on other teams around them, both in and out of the division, getting worse. When you start to add those layers, the probabilities to use the math term just become smaller and smaller. It just is too much that has to go right for me at this point to not alleviate my concerns.
Neil Greenberg with us here on Grant and Danny at N Greenberg on Twitter. Good follow for analytical information, just like we're talking about here. I don't know why I sounded like I was about to throw up when I said analytical, but that's what just happened.
That was awkward. That might have been the most awkward moment I've ever had on this station, like, which is saying something.
17% burp, one hiccup in there. It was gross.
Neil,
I'll tweet a pie chart about that later.
I'm going to play a historian and tell you that it's not the most awkward moment you've ever had on this station.
That's true. It's actually
maybe
it's not
even the most this month. All right, hopefully.
Unfortunately.
I don't know what my question was. Oh, yeah. So I think the key phrase that you said is a lot of ifs, and they have to break in the Nationals' direction. That's my only point here, is that it's not the rule. The book isn't written. It's not over, but it's certainly a lot of things have to happen in a positive direction for them and maybe negative for other teams. When you start simulating, start putting in the data points in terms of figuring out what's going to happen the rest of the way, which version of these guys do you put in? In other words, do you put the Bryce Harper in that was hitting 320 on pace for 40 homers last year, or the guy that's hitting 219 this year? What data gets put into these analytics to kind of give us the result of what we should expect over the next 85 games or so?
For me, I use a couple of different things because there's really no right answer. So I use what the team is doing. I use what we would expect them to do and just what we talked about. So, yeah, Washington's batting 229, but you would expect them to be batting 240-ish based on their exit velocity and launch angles of the balls put in play. And then I would do the same thing with pitchers. So what are they actually doing? What would we expect them to be doing? And then how does that relate to the teams that they have to play going forward? So it's really not just one or the other. I try to get as close to the true team talent level as I possibly can for every team and every sport. And what we see is not obviously representative because we just talked about the reasons why, but there is up and or downside depending on what metrics that we're looking at. So for the Nationals, yeah, they should be batting better, right? Bryce Harper should be batting better, but Bryce Harper isn't necessarily – like, we don't expect him to go from 213 and he's getting a lot of bad breaks and he should be at, you know, 420, right? I mean, he's still struggling for whatever reason. He's still struggling with chasing pitches. He's still struggling with plate discipline. He's still not getting a lot of bounces that we might expect him to get. So, you know, all that stuff factors into it. So with Harper specifically, yeah, I mean, he's batting 220, but maybe he should be batting 260. And, you know, but some people would say, well, he should be batting 320 because he's a former MVP. That's just not the way the world works. So, again, it's a mix of stuff. That's why I'm probably a little bit more pessimistic on the Nationals than most, or I should say like my analysis is. But, again, I have it somewhere between like 40 and 50% depending on how some other stuff shakes out in terms of them making the playoffs.
Yeah, it feels about right when you're talking about a third-place team in late June that has not played very well much of the season. Hey, Neil, thanks for the time, buddy. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
See you, buddy.
You bet. Neil Greenberg. Check him out here on 106.7 The Fan with Tom Daly when they're talking hockey on Crashing the Net. Tom Brady ranked the best player in the NFL. Is he still the top guy in the league? We'll get into that as the hour continues on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Little Jackson 5 here because sadly, Danny, I saw this on Twitter, Joe Jackson, father of Michael and Janet and the 8 other Jackson children.
Jermaine and company.
Passed away today at the age of 89. He'd been battling cancer, so RIP to Joe Jackson. I had no idea he was almost 90 years old,
wow.
A, and B, still alive. But that is sad to hear. He'd been fighting cancer, and he is gone.
I still, by the way, will come across, you know, This Is It on a replay, whether it's like on A&E or, you know, Stars, whatever the heck it is. Just, it's the Michael Jackson lead up and behind the scenes film to what was going to be his, you know, huge tour before he unfortunately passed away. Man, people, they were so great. The Jackson 5 were so great, and Michael Jackson was so great, man. Just so unbelievably good. You catch it at different parts, and you find how in-depth and how meticulous he was, how everything had to be exactly just so and so right. It was the, like, you know, the down to the most minute detail of how the show needed to go, that he controlled all of it. His vision, it had to be just like that, otherwise it was unacceptable. Just amazing, man.
Michael Jackson died 2 days ago, 9 years ago.
9 years,
can you believe that?
No.
So he was born in 58, and he lived until 2009. I guess I'm thinking the apex of Michael Jackson would have been, would that have been like 82, like Thriller? Or would it have been later on, do you think, in the later 80s? I would think early 80s with Thriller.
That was his peak?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, Thriller.
Has to be.
Greatest album of all time. Thriller.
But in terms of his fame, his notoriety, just people caring, wanting to see him? Early 80s over late 80s.
I would say, well, yes.
His best album, but then it was so successful that maybe he was more popular 5 years later.
Yeah, so follow-ups. I mean, think about this. His premiere for his music video, because the whole world wanted to see it. It wasn't like, and now MTV, brand new music video. Check it out here, you guys. It's the new debut. Wasn't that. It was on Fox. They would go, here's our programming lineup. Tonight it's The Simpsons, or tonight it's In Living Color, whatever the hell it is. And at 8:30, stay tuned, the new Michael Jackson video. That's how big a deal it was, dude. It wasn't like, you know, hey, there's just the new Dire Straits, a new Rolling Stones out. This was a broadcast television world premiere for his music videos. So I remember no one knew what the hell was going on in the one where he turned into a jaguar and then like started beating up cars and everyone was mad. Or his, the other videos that he was awesome. He was the master. He was the greatest, dude.
Michael Jackson died at 50. All right, so here's your quiz. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Tommy's got a little sounder ready if you get these correct. What are we going to hear? So that means you got it right. Okay?
Okay.
Need attention? I need your eyes on me, not on the computer.
Focused.
I want you to name as many members of the Jackson 5 as you can pull.
Oh, I can't do it.
Well, see what you could do. You could name a few of them.
Michael Jackson, Tito Jackson, Jermaine Jackson.
Okay, you're killing it.
That's where we start to get a little.
There are two other members.
This is where it starts to get. Janet's too young. She was on the show Good Times and on Different Strokes.
I think it was Five Boys.
Yeah. I don't have it. That's what I got.
Jackie Jackson?
I wouldn't have had that.
Ever heard of him? Marlon Jackson.
Marlon? Really?
Marlon Jackson.
I would not have had Marlon Jackson in the office pool. Would not have had that.
Says he began his solo career in 71. So he was actually solo 9 years before Thriller. Basically, I was a decade into his time solo as an artist.
I think I'd take the career of Marlon Wayans over Marlon Jackson.
I bet you probably would. Beat It. Love that. My one seed Michael Jackson song is Billie Jean.
Because it's, again, arguably the greatest song of all time.
Yeah.
Incredible. The video is just out of this world. It was before all the good graphics and video technology and some of the different stuff. All they did was it was just him by himself dancing incredibly well, lighting up everything that he touched. Phenomenal.
If you're a DJ that plays weddings and things, here's what you need to know. Play a lot of Michael Jackson and a lot of Bruno Mars, and the rest will sort itself
out. So it always comes back to my wedding for some reason. But I told, when we're meeting with the DJ, the guy from the company, I said, you cannot play too much Michael Jackson. He goes, so don't play too much Michael. I said, no. I need you to understand this.
There's no amount that would be excessive.
If you're in your mind going, is that too much Michael Jackson? The answer is no. It's like cheese. No one's ever said that's too much cheese, except for people you shouldn't trust. If you think to yourself, do I need more cheese? The answer is already yes. You already know it. Everything he did touched a turn to gold.
By the way, a bunch of people are telling me I'm wrong about his apex. So this is what I'm being told by, it seems like, some knowledgeable Michael Jackson folks.
Okay.
It wasn't Thriller when it came out in 82, even though that was his best album, as a lot of people would say.
Right.
It was right around Man in the Mirror in like 98, 87, 88.
Yeah, that's off Bad.
So basically, because Thriller had already come out, yep, and everyone loved him, and then Man in the Mirror came out after, that it was closer to 1990 when he was basically at his best.
Right. So Remember the Time was on network television, that with Magic Johnson and all the different celebrities in the video. Then again, as I mentioned, I want to say those other ones were on TV too. I could be wrong about that, but I mean, Bad was almost as good as Thriller. If let's say Thriller never happened, Bad with The Way You Make Me Feel, of course, and Bad and a couple other songs on there would have been one of the great albums ever produced.
Where do you think he goes down on the all-time list? Not performers, because he might be at the top of that.
He's the one seed there.
But I would say of solo artists, not in terms of like albums sold or whatever, but just in general on a list that should be done.
I think he has to be the
one. Who's on top of him?
So it's him, Elvis Presley.
He's better than Elvis. Or bigger.
Different.
Better,
yeah,
is a different
word. I mean, Elvis ushered in a whole new era that we didn't have before.
But Michael Jackson was a bigger deal than Elvis, right? Maybe it's just because he's more recent.
Because it's hard to say because Elvis was first. Does that make any sense? We didn't have that.
But
until
who else
we had
is
Elvis.
In that photo? Those two?
Of solo artists?
Yeah.
Then the other guys
Frank
in the team.
Frank Sinatra?
Yeah, other guys in the team photo were the Frank Sinatras. Prince is in there.
Prince is on that
Yeah,
list?
Oh yeah. Prince is a huge deal.
But
Michael Jackson's bigger.
I'm going to be honest with you. I I can't sign up for that. Wow. I never understood the infatuation.
In terms of albums sold, Garth Brooks, honestly, is in there. I think Garth
I'm not allowing
was also
him on blind. That list.
I'm telling you, you look at number
That's
of albums
disrespectful
sold.
Disrespectful to Michael Jackson, the late Michael Jackson.
But to me, nobody approaches MJ.
So it's probably him and Elvis as like the great solo acts ever. And Sinatra, maybe. Sinatra had the crossover appeal of movies.
He did everything.
If you're our dad's age, how old's your father?
60, what is year? 68-ish? He'll turn 70 this year.
Okay, so he's like probably 2 years older than my dad.
Yeah.
If you're our dad's age, like I guarantee your dad loves Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
I don't think you could be that age and a male and not have this great infatuation and love, be enthralled with Frank Sinatra.
Because you're right. Him and Dean Martin and Sammy Davis get together doing variety hours.
Paul McCartney doesn't get into the conversation because it was all Beatles. I mean, he's been a solo
act
for a
long
time.
He's amazing, but it's Beatles, and rightfully so. That's where he belongs.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Joe Jackson passing away today. Tom Brady, ranked number one in the NFL. You start an NFL team right now, this moment. Would he really be the guy you'd start the team with for this coming season still? Should he be ranked number one in the league at this point? We'll tackle that next on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let the prince wash over you, my friend. Let him wash over you a little bit.
Trying it back on for size. It's still not fitting, as they say.
Bathe in the waters of Lake Minnetonka.
I've never gotten into it. Can't really do it. And can't prince. Coach with him. Can't play with him. Can't do it.
After beating some basketball, they made his pancakes, man.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. By the way, some great responses on Twitter. We were talking about who else would be in the conversation as the greatest solo artists ever. A lot of people said James Brown.
Needs to be included. Yep, that's a great one.
We got some other good suggestions as well. Elton John came up.
He should be in there.
But you can't go off records sold because there's people like Mariah Carey is like top five records sold.
Yeah, with all due respect to Rihanna, I don't put her in the pantheon of great artists of all
time.
And
also, I asked you this, and I don't think either of us know the idea.
I don't know.
Thom, you went to a musical college, so I don't know why I defer to you as if you should know this, but you'll...
I went to maybe the Berklee College of Music.
Yeah. The!
Right. Very good. The music school. How are they going to determine, moving forward in the future, like, they can't do records sold, albums sold, because you don't actually sell them anymore.
Yeah.
That's how they decipher who the big dogs are. How are they going to do that moving forward?
Now it's all streams. It's all stream-related. So it's either YouTube or Spotify or Apple Music.
Okay, but can they count that? Like, when I'm cooking my dinner last night and I said, Spotify, play Ed Sheeran.
Yeah,
they give Ed Sheeran credit for every time that gets played.
Yeah. Well, so who's had more downloads than Taylor Swift? And she doesn't appear anywhere on these top records sold list, right?
Yeah, but she also does this wacky bit where she doesn't want to put it on anything that has a streaming service. She wants you to buy the albums.
Oh, right.
But it's all about stream numbers now. I don't think that, you know, without going too far down this road, I don't think that artists really care about selling records anymore. They care more about streams, having a hit song that's going to get just played on repeat over and over and over again.
But I guess my question is, and maybe the answer is,
how many times has Drake's God's Plan been streamed?
Oh.
100 million?
Easy, yes. But that's my point is, how then do we eventually stack up Drake or Ed Sheeran against Elton John? Are we going to just have the number of streams versus the number of albums?
I mean, it's like how we're going to talk about Alex Ovechkin, right? It's going to be modern era versus the record era.
Has to be then, right?
But at
we can't compare it.
We used to have this quantifiable like number. It'd be the equivalent of if we didn't hit home runs anymore and we just didn't have fences. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird to me.
If it was an 800-foot center field.
Exactly. I guess that's the answer, is the genre is going to have to stand for itself era by era, and there's going to be no comping things. But it is weird to me when I look at these lists of all these people. There's a couple of current artists, like Rihanna, who's she came out, like 2005. I mean, she's mostly been in this downloads era. She sold 230 million albums. How?
230 million albums. That's more than the Beatles.
Seventh all time or something like that.
Yeah, so the Beatles, as of 2017, I think got 178 million albums sold. They were the number one of all time. But then you get into this download era, it's a totally different animal. Like, I don't think anyone's been to a Tower Records and has bought a physical copy of Rihanna doing whatever it is that she does in forever.
You know what else they're doing here? It looks like gross sales, too.
Yeah.
So like, the Beatles are 600 million. She's a couple hundred million or whatever it is. So maybe they can do the sales based off downloads and things like that.
Like,
also,
premium streaming is only a couple years old. So Rihanna being on iTunes since 2005, those are album sales. Because you would have to buy
it to
digitally download it. Now, with the stream era, it's completely different.
Yeah. Your boy just in his kitchen getting music played for him off of
Alexa.
Alexa,
play Rihanna. Again, Grant? Yes, Alexa, don't talk back.
I should tell her to play Rihanna. I like Rihanna a little bit. I mostly just ask for some acoustics. You know what? I actually am. I'm on a kick right now with country music.
What have you been doing with the country?
I've been listening to Highway on Sirius XM. I don't know why. I've gone
so it's pop country. It's the worst.
I don't even know if it's pop. I've gone 30 years without listening to country, and I've randomly been driving around with the sun out in the summer here listening to country music.
Highway's like the brand new country.
It's like what's popular, I guess.
My favorite, if there's got to be a genre of country, 90s country is really good relative to the rest of it.
Who's 90s country? Your boy Garth Brooks?
So that's some Garth. That's before Toby Keith got weird.
Wayne and Garth.
That's some great George Strait. Some early Kenny Chesney is all very listenable. So it's a little bit less like, hey, girl, like Dierks Bentley winking at you. A little bit less like synthesized Florida Georgia Line nonsense.
How many former college quarterbacks were performing in the 90s? Because you have to have been a college quarterback, I think.
Isn't that the rule?
To be a star of country music right now.
It was a little bit less about like super handsome guy with like a 3 o'clock or 5 o'clock shadow.
Why was Tom Brady listed number one in the NFL over Aaron Rodgers on the rankings that
Because
came out?
The players vote on those things.
Guy, you're starting a team today. You're taking Tom Brady over Aaron Rodgers for this coming season? No chance you're doing that. Now, maybe you could say, well, Aaron Rodgers missed 9 games last year, so he's less durable, and he missed 7 games in 2013. Aaron Rodgers is the best player in the NFL. Tell me I'm wrong.
You see how I'm not telling you anything?
No, tell me I'm wrong. I want you to make the case that I'm wrong.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that, Grant. I'm not going to tell you that you're wrong.
Why is Tom Brady listed number one on this list?
Because the players vote for this thing. It's the
they
same reason.
They don't know how good Aaron Rodgers is?
It's this, well, because he got hurt this past year, so all of a sudden that changes who he is. It's the same reason that when voting would come in, they would see, you know, when they play their game, they get home and they watch the highlights, they tell you that Michael Vick is a great quarterback, when objectively, he was not a great quarterback. He was a tremendous highlight reel, but complete 60% of your passes one time. It's all of a sudden a miracle that when he leaves town and name that average Jag, all of a sudden Roddy White becomes a Pro Bowler. Vic was more explosive, incredible athlete in Atlanta than he was quarterback, but he would always appear if the NFL Network existed then. He would have been a top five player, right, for a team that never really accounted for all that much, except for a road win against Brett Favre and the Green Bay Packers in the Tundra once.
Do you know where Aaron Rodgers ended up ranking in the top 100, the players put out?
I don't specifically. I'll guess 4.
10.
Okay.
Dumb list. That's how you know it's a dumb list. So Brady goes 1. Antonio Brown goes 2. Great player.
No problem with that.
Carson Wentz ranked 3rd.
Problem with that.
Carson Wentz. The Eagles won the Super Bowl with him watching like me and you throughout the playoffs. 3rd. That's beyond preposterous. Julio Jones 4th. Good player. Le'Veon Bell 5th. Should be higher up. He's a top fiver. Todd Gurley 6th. Had a great year. Aaron Donald, 7th, best defensive player in the league last year. Drew Brees ahead of Aaron Rodgers, 8. Von Miller, 9. And then Rodgers, 10.
This is why, and we're giving it airtime, so I guess we're doing what they want. That's why I hate these lists. Is the 5th best receiver better than the best center? Is the 3rd best running back better than the best right guard in football? What about a defensive tackle or a nose guard that's not going to get any sacks or any. This is the part of this thing that drives me crazy. There's always like 15 quarterbacks, 13 running backs, 12 receivers, and it's a disproportionate representation of who the best football players are. Aaron Donald making the top 10 is correct. Guy's amazing.
Should happen. Antonio Brown top 5.
No problem there.
Le'Veon Bell should happen. By the way, tell me more about Ben Roethlisberger. Guy's got two of the top four players in the NFL he's operating with. Your boy Floyd Mayweather made a purchase you're going to be mad about, by the way. We can get into that next. Hit some leftovers. You want to chime in on Brady over Rodgers in the NFL rankings, top 100 put out by the players. You can do that. 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny.
Ted Britford, that's where I go. My name is Danny Rouillet. I'm a two-time Ted Britt customer. Say it three times fast. Two-time Ted Britt, two-time Ted Britt, two-time Ted Britt. Got myself a 2016 Ford Edge. Did that in 2016. In 2017, in the time before time, I got myself a 2017 Ford Fusion. June is almost over. I got it in March of last year. How many months is that, Tommy? Was that like 16 months? 15 months? I'm not even sure. To be honest with you, it's a long time. I've gotten gas seven times. I got myself this weekend, very proud, 64 miles to the gallon. Got over the hump. Love it. You'll love it as well. Get yourself a brand spanking new one, including a Fiesta Focus. Here's the offer. 0% APR for 72 months on the new 2018 Fiesta Focus and the Fusion. I love that Fusion. You will too. If you ain't paying for gas, that's the car for you. 0% APR, that's a theme going on right now at Tedbert Ford. Plus $1,500 on the new 2018 Ford Flex. Here's a cool deal. 2018 F-150, 4x4, super crew truck. Save up to $11,000 off the MSRP. And military and first responders, save an additional $1,000 with military and first responder appreciation cash. Love it. Go see my guys at Tedbert Ford and tell them Danny said.
You're listening to 106.7 The Fan and to Grant and Danny for another 12 or so minutes. Chad Dukes versus the world at 2 o'clock. CDVTW comes your way today live from our Half Street studios at the top of the hour. Danny, we were talking about Tom Brady. What number does Tom Brady wear?
12?
He wears number 12.
TB12, baby.
What number did Terry Bradshaw wear?
Ooh. I'll say 12 also, because I don't have a good...
Hey.
Is that true?
Do you think that they're going to retire the number 12 for the Caps this year with Peter Bondra?
That's a good question.
Hung in the rafters.
I've been wondering that, Thom, and I think it's the time, right? They call him 12-share Peter Bondra. It's time to retire Peter Bondra's number. I think, have the Jazz retired John Stockton's number? What number did he wear?
God, I wouldn't know this.
He wore 12.
He wore 12
he,
as
oh,
well?
Did? Oh, 12, 12, 12.
What about that?
I'm trying to think. Baseball player, great player, one of my favorite players. Roberto Alomar. What number did Roberto
Alomar
wear?
I think one of the most underrated players ever. He may have been one of the five best players I ever saw. I couldn't tell you what number he wore, though. I mean, it was so long ago.
I think he wore 12.
Number 12.
He did.
Number 12.
Do you think that Sean McVay is upset that Jeff Fisher cut Stedman Bailey?
That's a good... How do you know what number he wore, by the way?
He was number 12.
Was he?
I believe you because of the bit that's happening right now. You would have given me 53 guesses and we weren't playing this game. I wouldn't have known that.
He's a WVU guy. I always pay attention to him.
You remember them.
Hysterical. We were talking about how nice Jim Kelly was when we met him.
Super nice guy.
What a great guy. We're pulling for him as he continues to battle the good fight against cancer.
Just a grinder.
K-gun offense. I'm trying to remember that Bills jersey he wore.
I can picture Thurman Thomas' 34. I'm having trouble picturing Jim Kelly.
Yeah. Jim Kelly.
John Tavares, he is doing this press conference style interview thing. And I saw online that the rumored annual average value of his new contract, whether it's with the Islanders or whatever team, is going to be about $12
million. What?
$12 million per year? Wow. Jerome McGinley wore number 12 at one point
in
time.
He did.
Great player.
Scored a lot of goals in the NHL. And I always, as far as athletes go, when I think about some of my favorite ever, I love the way Kenny Stabler scrambled around. You guys remember Stabler? He wore number 12, didn't he?
I've got a potential fantasy football sleeper for you.
Yep. Who do you got?
The Dolphins took him with the 123rd pick. It's Durham Smith, the tight end out of Notre Dame.
Oh, Durham Smith. A guy that literally means nothing to me, but I'm going to guess he wears number 12, does he, Dar?
No, 123rd pick.
Oh. That's an even better bit.
That's really funny, actually.
Joe Namath
wore 12. I've been trying to remember this. I was talking to my wife about this morning because I'm groggy in the morning. I can never get up, and I'm always like so tired. I'm just not myself until I've had a couple cups of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
What do the Seattle Seahawks fans call themselves?
The 11th.
Nope.
The 11th. The
12th.
That's it, thanks.
Oh, 12th.
Mm-hmm.
That's real interesting. Before we get to what you're going to do tonight without the Nats playing, Danny, Floyd Mayweather, who wears number 12, I think.
So does Andrew Luck.
He does.
Andrew Luck does.
Floyd Mayweather paid $18 million on his new watch. He posted on Instagram.
My God.
He says, I bought this watch from the best jeweler in the world, hands down, links to the jewelry account. He has better prices than any other jeweler that I've ever done business with. And trust me, I bought jewelry from every jeweler in New York, Vegas, L.A., Detroit, Houston, Miami. I'm going to say he hasn't bought jewelry from every jeweler in those cities, but he says he has. From here on out, I'm only buying from them. I don't know if he got sponsored or if they hooked him or what, but apparently, sounds like he spent $18 million, or at least it's an $18 million watch. I don't know what it says about me. When people just have outlandishly stupid purchases, I like them less. What does that mean about me?
I don't know. But like, I feel the same way. I'm instinctively off-put by that.
When I hear that a player has 14 cars, you don't need 14 cars. Why would you do that? Or that a guy has 9 houses or something like that. Why? Why do you have 9 houses? You're one person. What do you need 9 houses for?
I especially in a sport like boxing, where you're basically asking directly to the consumer to support you. Right? Because at least there's a passive relationship where the money's got to pass through different channels. When you go to a football game, you may be there to see one star, but he's one of 53, right? And there is a more indirect link where these guys are getting a whole bunch of money. And it's great, and they deserve it, right? But when Floyd Mayweather takes a huge purse based on direct viewership, where he's asking you, put money in my coffer, and here's what I'm going to do with it, I find it so off-putting. Some people don't, by the way. Some people celebrate that. They think it's so awesome. I am not one of those people. I find that irritating. I guarantee you, you could have been much happier, or not much happier, just as happy with $1 million watch and $17 million to charity. Maybe teach some kids to read, you know? And I'm not a saint. I'm not giving up all my free time doing something wonderful with my life, making a difference for a lot of people.
I guess he could say, hey, you probably spent, you know, $300 on your watch. Why didn't you give that to charity?
Right. Well, I also don't have $18 million to spend on a piece of jewelry or a watch. That type of stuff has always driven me crazy. You know, like if you have the means and this is what you're doing, like look at Bill Gates. Bill Gates never has to do anything as long as he lives. He could buy all the islands he wants and just live there. He started the Bill Gates Foundation. And you know what they do? Whatever the hell they can to help humanity. Whether they're going to make a difference or not, I don't know. But that's kind of the path you could be able to walk if you're a Floyd Mayweather. That's always irritated me.
Yeah, and it's not even for me a Mayweather point. It's a, really? That's what we're spending our money on kind of thing? Like, at some point, how nice a watch do you need, you know? But he throws his money around like crazy, that dude. I don't know how he still has money. He's lost hundreds of thousands of dollars on random sports bets where he tweets out, or he just posts a picture on Instagram of his ticket from some Vegas book, and he just went in and put, you know, $300,000 down on a team to win that night,
right?
A soccer game or something. He just throws cash around like crazy.
Part of the image, part of, and again, people buy into that. They love it. I think just as many people tune in to see him fail as tune in to see him win. And that's the image that he's cultivated. He's really good at it. He deserves credit for taking advantage of everybody for this long.
Chad Dukes versus the world comes your way at the top of the hour at 2 o'clock. Looking forward to CDVTW today. If you missed any part of our show, you can look up our podcast at thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com/audio. We had Troy Brown Jr. on.
He's great.
A bunch of things that you can find there.
I just wanted to interrupt before you guys got off the air. I wanted to let you know, I just ordered Uber Eats.
Ooh.
My lunch was $12.30.
Oh, that's a good number.
What?
12.3.
That's incredible.
A calculator would read it as 12.3.
Aaron Rodgers wears 12.
Always appreciate you guys listening to the show. Means a ton to us. Thanks so much for doing so. By the way, it's been 19 days since the Capitals won the Stanley Cup. This is for you, girls and boys and babes. Let's go. We're the Stanley Cup champions. 19 days since
still,
they won the cup.
I still have joyous afterglow, by the way. Can't get
How
me down.
How could you not?
Just in a good mood.
Don't have a coach? No problem. My hockey team, not yours, won the Stanley Cup.
I say, we say, TDQTW.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.